Every time we feel or think something, it becomes part of us. And often we think it just goes out of our head and, it's something that just flits or flies through us, ephemeral. But it doesn't. It becomes part of who we are, like chalked into our soul, if you will. So my goal these days is to constantly paint these feelings and intentions and feelings about myself and my life into my being over and over and over and over and over and over again, so that I become more of these feelings. And I no longer wait for the world to give me permission to feel the way I do, for things to happen so that I can feel how I want to feel about myself. I feel that way first, and I just kind of turn the tables on the world.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. New episode, new review, highlight before it begins, baby. And this one is a 5-star review from Mom of 18. And their review is titled, A Total Win. Dom is so fun with his guests and hits the heart of the subject. Such an easy, great listen. Thanks a bunch, Mom of 18, for leaving that review and letting us know what you like about the podcast. And if you too like something about the show, let us know via goingnorthpodcast.com or heading over to Apple Podcasts and leaving a review and letting us know what you like. So that way, this podcast can continue to go north and beyond plus ultra. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel, builder for authors known as GMP, the great, glorious, and glamorous, is the Going North Podcast. And we got another super special, awesome human for you that's cooler than 10 cucumbers. That's right, indeed. And folks like, Dom, it's been a while since you said someone's cooler than 10 cucumbers. Like, why are they cooler than 10? Well, today's wonderful guest is courtesy of herself. That's right, indeed. She's actually a friend of a past guest of this show, the marvelous and magical Morgana Ray, who episode is going to be in the wonderful recommended episodes after hearing this wonderful lady indeed, because if somebody knows that wonderful woman, they're going to be wonderful too, because today's wonderful guest, she's an award-winning best-selling international bookcaster. Y'all, you heard that right, folks. She's sold books by the boatloads and she's won awards for it. And she has a podcast of her own, as well as putting pen to paper. So she is a package for all parties indeed. That's right indeed, because she's not only that, she's also a speaker as well as a personal growth coach and a publishing veteran. So let's give it up for the woman who's going to make you feel like it's bikini weather all year long, Summer McStravick. How you doing today, Summer?
Hey, Tom, that's quite the intro. I love it. Thank you.
Woohoo!
And I'm doing good. I'm doing great.
There you go. She's great.
Tony the Tiger right there. You and I have been joking. It's just going to get cornier from here, I'm afraid.
Oh, don't be afraid. Be excited. Be ecstatic. Be McStravic ecstatic.
In my family, we call it McStravagant. So there you go.
Yeah, there we go. I knew it had to be something in there. That's right. Indeed.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right, indeed. And your first name, Summer, so I had to make a joke somewhere. It's like, yeah, you got the voice that'll make folks go into bikini weather in their minds all year long. That's right, indeed.
Oh, I get it now. I gotta get caught up on this. I'm a little slow. I'm like, okay, I'll catch up with you soon. Bikini weather. Well,
yeah, can't just say summer, you know, like a season all the time, you know, gotta get a little bit more creative.
I do, you know, and that's so funny because when I tell people who I am and, you know, how people are like, what's your name? What? Can you say that again? I'm like, summer, like the season. That's always what I say. I will change that up. Thank you very much, Tom. I have a new lease on life.
There you go. A whole new lease on life indeed. Now, before the magical weather appears, before you discovered that, I'm pretty sure there was a whole boatload of trapdoors you had to go through and potholes you had to escape to become the summer that you are today. So mind filling in any cavities I may have missed about you?
Oh, about me? Oof, what? Well, you know what? What do you want to know? Anything? I mean, there's so many different rabbit holes we could go down here on, you know, how I've gone north and south a few times, but turned around eventually, got myself north again. But dang, we can start anywhere. You know, I know you talk to a lot of people about their books, and I'm sure we'll weave that in. But I've been doing this work with other people. Personal growth work, mindset work, intuitive work. Oh, God, my whole life, but began seriously doing so in about 2004-ish. So, yeah, I guess we're hitting on 20 years now of just teaching people how to take themselves into different places in their potential, their life, their heart, get beyond fear, do all kinds of stuff. Oh, listen, I got all serious on you all of a sudden.
Hashtag serious summer. That's right indeed. It's where the summer weather gets in the three figure digits. Extra spicy, extra season.
Season. I
That's
get it. I'm getting it. I'm following. Oh, God.
right.
I warned you before we started this, the dad jokes, keep them to a reasonable level. Whatever that means to you, Dom. Reasonable. Okay? Like one every 4 minutes is not reasonable. No. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Adulting, so that means you're basically a prodigy. You basically worked for the magical hay of the house where they had the wonderful legendary Louise Hay and a bale of hay.
Oh gosh, yeah, on her hay rides, and I mean that's a literal thing. Yeah. So my background is kind of weird and fun and strange. And I never thought that I would go into the line of work of personal growth and leading others. I thought I was just gonna be a person working in publishing, you know, editing or doing graphic design, art direction. A real normal, in other words, life, real normal style career. But you know how things work in life? You kind of get nudged where you need to go. And sometimes we resist that and sometimes we don't. And we just kind of plop right into it. So it was around the year 2000 that I took a job with Hay House, which is a big publishing company. Louise Hay started it. She wrote You Can Heal Your Life. Some people remember that. And, again, I just still thought I was going to be in the role of creating brilliant content for other people, or taking other people's brilliant content and making it accessible to people, I should say. And you know, in hindsight, I realized what was really happening is that life, kind of the universe, just took me and shook me and said, "We're going to teach you how to create things and make stuff that works." And you're going to work on other people's projects and webinars and seminars and audiobooks and master classes. You're going to be a producer, and you're going to get a lot of experience over the next decade doing this kind of stuff. And then you're not going to be able to do that anymore for other people. You're going to have to take your own messaging and do it. And gulp, that's exactly what happened in 2009. It turns out I had written a couple of books for Hay House by that time. Also, I hate to say it, but kind of by accident, just my own personal methods for manifesting, creating, connecting with source, God. I had just somehow found myself in a podcast, co-hosting with Dr. Wayne Dyer. Some people remember him. And then it was time for me to just launch. And so I did. And so I've been teaching people this method for flow dreaming, this practice, this way of thinking ever since. That's all I do now, and all I do today is talk to people about how they can create the next version of themselves, whatever it may be. I mean, wherever you may be in your life and what you've gone through. So that's where I'm at. That's kind of the total nutshell history of how I got to this place. And I'm happy to like share with people what I do today, or you can ask me more about the journey. Whatever you think anybody'd be interested in.
So cashews or almonds?
Are you saying I'm nuts?
Well, you said in a nutshell, so that's usually the trigger. That's usually one of my trap doors for the interview for the guests. It's like, yeah, that's it, me in a nutshell. It's like, all right, well, cashews or almonds, which nut?
You know what? I gotta tell you, definitely, I'm an almond person. I hate cashews. They're terrible. Not only that, I ate almonds right before this darn interview with you. Almonds all the way. Team almond.
So you're saying you're the walking Milky Way galaxy, huh?
Yeah,
Because
I
of
know.
almond milk,
Yeah.
huh?
Yeah. Almond milk, too. Gosh. Tom. I'm trying to keep a straight face here. Oh my gosh. All right. So,
To see her own face turn red. That's why she wanted the cameras off.
I actually prefer talking with people with the camera off. I know I'm super old school that way, but when I'm looking at a person, my energy, my focus, like a big part of our bandwidth, our brain width goes into reading them. Their face, their expression. And I find that being able to talk then for me gets a little compromised. So if I'm not looking at you, I hear you better, in other words. And I know I might, maybe I'm an outlier, but maybe some people are listening or like, you know, hallelujah, me too. But the internet today, everybody needs to look at each other, I guess.
Not really. You're actually cool people with that one. It was like the thing. Zoom
Yeah,
fatigue was a
yeah.
real thing like 4 years ago. They're like, oh God, does every meeting have to be a Zoom meeting? And then God forbid you call in a
Oh,
extra early Zoom meeting, like the camera's gonna be off, buddy. No
yeah.
beauty sleep in this one.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. I've noticed about two-thirds of people keep their camera off in the Zoom meetings that I hold, you know, for my students and classes, and that's totally fine with me. Right. I'd rather have people just listen and absorb than feel like they're being looked at and, you know, for nothing really. There's not much anybody's getting from it other than to see you're actually there. I always say that the way I teach is introvert friendly, meaning camera off, totally fine. You can be there in your pajamas. I don't care. So.
If only if, in other words, introvert friendly. I like it
Yeah.
indeed. I like it indeed. Well, hey, well, backtracking a bit to you starting at Hay House, I hear that you didn't want a full-time job. You started off as a freelancer, even though they wanted to make you full-time there at the Hay House.
Yeah. So, like I said in the beginning in my life, so I come from a long line of pretty woo-woo people, you know, mystics and intuitives and herbalists. Just we've always been of that ilk, I guess you could say. And so when I went to college, I was like, I am never going to be like my mother, my grandmother, my great grandmother, my great 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 grandmother. Forget it. And so the first thing I tried to do was to create a literary magazine. And, you know, I was like 28, and my husband and I both had recently graduated with degrees in literature and writing and editing. So put out this literary magazine. And I didn't know anything about sales. All I knew about was writing. So if you're running a magazine, just note to everybody, you need to know how to actually sell advertising and or support it other than with your own salary that you're making by freelancing elsewhere. A few years in, I was already $30,000 in debt, and that was a lot back in, you know, the year 2000. I mean, just double that in your mind today, I guess. And pretty much everything I made was for food and to be able to afford publishing costs to put out more copies of this magazine. I was at that point, you know, I'd always been following, of course, I couldn't get away from it, the idea about manifesting your life and your future and having some say about who you are and what direction you can go in that was in your hands. It wasn't just, you know, a bumpy, lumpy ride of whatever life handed you. So I began doing this technique. I call it flow dreaming today, but it was really a very early manifesting technique. We're talking 23 years ago, way before The Secret or any of that came out. And when I would go into this space, this process, this technique that I would do, I would sort of lose myself in what you call flow, or what not you call everybody, the in the world of psychology, they call it flow state. It's a recognized state. And when I entered that state, it was like, well, how did I get there? And I realized that I was kind of daydreaming my way in. And once I was there, time seems to disappear around you, the world, your physical self, you forget even your body. You're really someplace else. Like if you think about right now, if you're daydreaming, you don't know where you are. Like you could be doing any other activity, and it's like blips of time are just sucked away from your life. You're in two places at once, essentially, right? So I was having that experience and recognizing that when I was in that space, I wanted to really communicate. I wanted to say, look, my magazine is going to do great. I'm going to be wonderful. I'm going to be so successful. If I just ask for it, ask and it shall be given. Except in my case, it wasn't given. I had to shut down the magazine. And I recognize today that the reason that that happened isn't that the manifesting that I was doing failed. It's that it actually worked really, really well. Because what I really wanted from life, and I call these our emotional endpoints, what I really wanted from life was to find my way into a path where I could fully express myself, my talents, my vision, the things I was curious about, I could share, where people would listen, where I could make an impact, where I could feel like every day I'm learning something new and growing all the time. And life, my life was saying in response to me, or you could call it your higher self, God, whatever, this little dead-end literary magazine isn't going to do it. So we're going to take that right away from you. And so I shut it down. And there were a couple of months of just feeling absolutely lost. Anybody who's like started a business and lost it, you know the feeling. Or got your dream job and lost it, you know this feeling, like, what the heck? I do not understand why this happened. What's going on? And it was then that I sent a little letter in the mail. Remember, we still used letters back then, actual typed out letters. No
Or
emails,
handwritten.
okay? Yeah. And I sent it to the only publishing game in town, pretty much, which turned out to be Hay House. And I said, do you want me to lay out the interiors of your books? Because I'm really good at that. And then I forgot all about it, and I never called, and I never followed up, and I never did a damn thing. And to my absolute astonishment, I got a call one day saying, come in, we want to hire you. So I began as freelance, and eventually, my boss, super, super wonderful woman, not Louise, she was my boss in the art department. She said, look, can you come here full time? And I said, no, I don't ever want to work for anybody full time, especially a corporation, blah, blah, blah. And I finally said, look, if I try it for 2 weeks and hate it, can I go back to freelancing? And she said, okay. That's how reluctant I was to get into my actual, God-given path. But obviously I stayed more than 2 weeks. I stayed 10 years, as a matter of fact. So a very interesting and crazy time. If anybody listening remembers, the late 90s, the 2000s, I ended up building Hay House Radio, putting together all the webinars that you may have remembered from that era. You probably have books on your shelf, CDs, if you still have any. Probably my little fingerprints are all over those with all the incredible leaders that, were really coming up at that point. Not just Louise Hay and Wayne Dyer, but Marianne Williamson and Susie Orman, Greg Braden, Denise Lynn, Joan Borisenko. I could just go on and on and on. But that was my launch pad, essentially, to where I am today. That was partially north. I got more north as I went along, though. Got more into my actual calling. Got over some fear along the way. Big boatloads of that, of course, comes up.
That's what I'm talking about in days. I'm talking about. Indeed. So, do you feel like your flow dreaming process basically became more sharpened and streamlined as you were talking and chatting with all these wonderful luminaries and legendary authors and writers and spiritual teachers?
You know, I'm sure it did. People often say, "Who are your influences?" And my answer is all of them. Think of it like, I mean, God, when you're in an atmosphere like that, it's osmosis. You know, it's just you're a sponge and everything is just coming in and then getting reorganized in its own way. Flow dreaming for me came out as a total surprise. You know, there's so many methods for manifesting that people talk about today, like how to create your life, whether it's just plain old writing your goals out and doing your miracle morning or 5 minutes in the morning or whatever it may be, all the way to like the most woo-woo processes. But for me, I was looking for something where I could say to life, say to my future, here's what I want. And I'm doing all the physical action to get it, but I feel like it's not enough. Because I wonder, am I being heard? You know, is source or God really responding to me? Like, how do I know? I need feedback. And I need to know that the things that are coming my way and being put in my path are actually the right and correct things. Is there something I can do? Because prayer is great. Don't get me wrong. I love prayer, but it often feels like a one-way communication. Like, I'm begging, I'm asking if I'm good enough, if I'm deserving, please make it happen. And I said, I need more than that. I need to know, hey, this is what I am making happen. Do I have support? Like, is this right? Can I get some feedback? Can I get some yeses and nods and thumbs up along the way? Can I get some things coming into my life that say, yes, you're on the right track, do more, go in this direction, or no, you're not on the right track, stop, move, go elsewhere. So, you know, the process for me ended up becoming kind of like a navigational, like a compass, you know, in my life. This is where I'm going. And this is what I'm making and creating. I can't say the process came from any particular leader or teacher that I knew. But like I said, I feel like more that period for me was like getting an MBA or a master's degree that they paid me for instead of me paying someone else, right? Yeah, it's great. In how to create something that really works and how to get, what do they call it? The wheat and the chaff. That's a really old saying, but how to get through the fluffy stuff that doesn't work, because the fluffy stuff that doesn't work is not going to sell books. You got to find the stuff that works. So it made me really keen on discovering things that work. And that's how I ended up really, you know, going full bore ahead into the work that I do today and trusting, frankly, that life would support me doing it. A lot of entrepreneurs get really worried and scared and unsure. You know, will other people want what I'm actually doing or who I am? So you have to build that trust, not just in yourself, but that life is also cheering you on and saying, yes, that is exactly the right direction. So that was a long answer. Kind of
There you
went in all
go.
directions.
There you go. She's bringing all the wiener dogs today, baby. I love to see. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. And they're still in the ballpark. You love to see it, indeed. That's right, indeed. Shout out to all the Franks out there.
Jeez. I'm not even sure what I said. It must have had something to do with wiener dogs, though. Dachshunds and Frankfurters.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. Yes, indeed, definitely good times, indeed, where you get to really learn at the seat of the master's tables. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. And my goodness, I probably should ask this question before that one. So, my goodness, so for those who have no idea what flow dreaming is, like, what is it and why is it so freaking fabulous? Because most folks would be like, oh, yeah, it's probably meditation. Like, they ravage meditation.
I actually have to explain this a lot often. So your question is very much on point. Flow dreaming is not meditation at all. It's not self-hypnosis. It's its own animal. It's built kind of like a Frankenstein of things you've already heard of oftentimes and sort of know, but maybe have never combined in a perfect way. It's like if you have flour, sugar, and eggs, you can make a cake, but if you never combine them, you don't know. Flow dreaming is it's got three, I call it the three pillars, the three aspects, the three things that come together. One of them is guided daydreaming. I've never been really great at meditation. I have tried, oh my God, I've tried so many times. And I can meditate a little and I can follow other people's guided meditations. But when I meditate, I tend to become very active. I'm like, oh, and I want to do this and I want to go there and I want to see that. And before I know it, I'm not meditating at all. I'm doing something else. So I realized that what I tended to do was drift off into a daydream, which, I mean, we all know how to daydream. We do it multiple times a day. So I said, what if I just take this natural tendency that I have to already go into a daydreaming space and actually follow it and see where it leads me if I kind of stay with it and stay aware? Well, that's what led me into what I call flow state, right? Which I mentioned already. And flow state, the actual doctor who discovered it or shared it, his name is Dr. Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, the father of positive psychology, interestingly enough. And he identified it as when you're in a state where everything is just perfect, everything's going right, everything is coming together. There is nothing, you're not struggling. You're the opposite of struggling, you're flying, you're gliding. You want to know something? Boom, boom, boom. The answers are coming. And we enter this state usually by completely by accident. We are doing solving a problem at work, and before we know it, 3 hours have passed, and we're like, whoa, that was so easy. It all came together. And there's almost a sense of missing time. Like, wait, how did that happen? That didn't feel like it took that long. It's kind of optimal brain entrainment to whatever process you're doing. Well, what if you're daydreaming and you find yourself sliding into this flow state? And there's a practice to do it. It's very easy. I know I'm making it sound complicated, but it's not. But once you get there, the question is, what do you do there? And that's where I realized that my deep and strong emotion was what I was using to communicate with most of the time. Manifesting today, they talk about, being clear on your words are powerful, et cetera, getting, detailed and nuanced, paint the details. I wasn't doing any of that. I was going in a total other direction with it. I would daydream, find myself in this flow state, and I would be feeling things like, I am incredibly successful. I have all the opportunities to reach out and for the world to uphold me and give me the resources that I need. I feel deeply loved and connected. I feel like good things are flowing into my life every day, every hour. Nothing is getting in the way. There'll be great things happening tomorrow. I'm fully open to them. So I would be feeling stuff like this, just depending on what it was that I was working on at the moment or what part of my life I was working on. And I'd get into this deep, feeling state in flow. And then when I returned from this process or technique, I'd open my eyes and say, oh my gosh, that was 15 minutes. Where did that go? What? Where? What? Huh? Yeah, I didn't even know I'm here. And so that for me was kind of like the beginning. And then I learned how to do a lot more things with this technique and this practice. But the end game here is that when I create stuff now in my life, I'm always playing the long game. What I'm closing my eyes and dreaming of and thinking of right now is something that I call it my future me 5 years from now is going to be thanking me for. Thank you for doing that back then and this year, 2024 or whatever. Thank you for doing that because you began feeling this and you began building this inside you. Every time we feel or think something, it becomes part of us. And often we think it just goes out of our head and, it's something that just flits or flies through us, ephemeral. But it doesn't. It becomes part of who we are, like chalked into our soul, if you will. So my goal these days is to constantly paint these feelings and intentions and feelings about myself and my life into my being over and over and over and over and over and over again, so that I become more of these feelings. And I no longer wait for the world to give me permission to feel the way I do, for things to happen so that I can feel how I want to feel about myself. I feel that way first, and I just kind of turned the tables on the world. And I said to the world, you need to start matching me now. Because otherwise, we find ourselves just matching other people in situations outside of us, and oftentimes they can be just chaotic or just downright, grim, because most people aren't taking any kind of power over their lives or direction over who they are and what they're becoming. So, we just bump into their fallout, I guess. But when you do this process, everything changes. It turns around completely. Am I making this make sense? I know I'm just going on and on.
Sounds like you got a new nickname, Summer the Architect McStravick. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. We're going into your mind and building a future. That's right indeed. Flow
Yeah.
dream now, 5 years later, your seasoned self or extra seasoned self will thank you. It's like, thank you, self from 5 years ago for flow dreaming. That's right
Oh my
indeed. I
God.
feel freaking more fabulous indeed. That's right indeed.
It's so true, though. It's so true. Like today, people say, oh, Summer, you got so many good things. I say, you guys, I've been working on this for 20 years, right? I mean, I began crafting and creating parts of myself over the last 20 years. Have you been doing that? And they're like, well, I don't know. Sometimes they say yes, but often it's like, no, I've just been like, I call it responding versus pre-sponding, or reacting versus pre-acting, right? Most people are responding and reacting over and over and over every day, hoping things outside of them will change. That your brother-in-law will be nicer, that your boss will give you a raise, that your kids will start speaking to you, that you'll find, $10,000 of a suitcase on the street. I don't know. We're waiting for things to happen to us so we can feel the way we want to feel. And that is a very reactionary way to live to life, live life. It takes your power away and it gives the power to the outside world. Instead, what I try to do is at least give myself some time each day where instead of just re replying and responding, replying to email, responding to situations around me, I go into a place, this non-physical space. I go to my flow and I say, I want to program these things. I want to experience these things. Here is what I call the energy template for these things. Like, I'm going to sketch it for you in my heart, in my feelings, and woo-woo people will understand what energy template means, right? Your soul self. If you're not that, if you're not woo-woo or into any of that, just think of it in strictly psychological terms. The more you start feeling certain feelings, emotions, the more they become part of you. Anytime you start charging up a certain neural pathway in your mind, that pathway deepens and becomes more clear. We know that as a fact in science. So, however you choose to look at it, if you start doing a practice like this, you change. You absolutely change. And when you change, the things that are around you, they cannot relate to the same person that you used to be because you're no longer, that person's no longer there. That means the things outside you then are forced to change in response. And I use this, I rely on this idea and method for just everything in my life, everything at all. Dom, what's something you want to make right now?
Something I want to make right now.
Yeah. I know, I put you on the spot.
That's right indeed. Don't worry, it's a good spot.
You could tell me later. You could tell me after we're done with the How about we just say all good things and success in all ways, and that you find that your true calling is supported and continues to expand in ways so phenomenal that you can't even conceive of them right now. Would that be acceptable?
Oh, definitely be well welcomed.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, we all, I mean, I could say that for myself too. And probably some people who are listening are like putting their hands up, like, me too, throw me in there. So, like here we are at the beginning of this year. I don't know when you're going to air this, but I right now, and this is what I've been doing with my group as well. I've been saying, look, you guys, we're going to plan and pattern our 2024. Everybody has a goal sheet, you know, things that you want to have happen, physical stuff you write down, like lose 20 pounds or, you know, get my health back in order, you know, find a new job, find a partner, fix my partner, whatever it may be. Like things that we have like a list, right? The goals. But the goals are just, think of it as one half of the game. Goals are the physical things that we're doing. And if you think about life, life is physical and non-physical. Okay, again, I'm kind of going to that more woo-woo space or spiritual space. Let's call it that, right? Spirit. Most of us have some sort of spiritual understanding or practice. And so we have the physical stuff that we do, and then we have the spiritual stuff that we do. And too often the spiritual stuff is just, you know, kind of kicked to the side and said, I'll practice gratitude and love and, you know, love God and try and follow my path. And that's it. It was like, that's the only impact, you know, just try to be a good person. Non-physical and spiritual is more than just a set of rules about how to behave. It's as active and alive and rich as all the physical things that you're doing, the action that you're doing. In other words, it's you can work with it. Like it's interactive as opposed to just like a you know, a listing of how to be a good person or whatever. So as you kind of go into this next year, the non-physical things that you're putting in and you're planning are like what I just said to you. My voice is heard. The light that's in my heart, what I'm very best at in this world, is completely supported. Whatever needs to happen for me comes in for me, guides me, makes it inevitable, makes it like I couldn't not do this thing. It's that easy. It's that obvious. I'm doing it before I even realized I made the choice to do all the things that bring me this sense of security and joy and love and inner pride. We're going to throw money in there because money is security, right? And for us to be able to continue to do the things that we're the best at, we need to have security so we can. So we build in flow dreaming, we build what I call this energetic template or blueprint. And I spend as much time building this blueprint, this energetic blueprint, as I do doing the action and physical things. Well, maybe not as much, because then it would be like I'd spend 4 hours in flow and 4 hours working. But let's just say every day I'm being very attentive to this is the guidance I'm giving. This is what we're doing all the physical stuff for, folks. Give me whatever I need, right? And I'm very receptive and I'm very open to whatever, you know, a person's belief is, source, God, you know, wants to bring in, nudge me, correct me, you know, shut down things that aren't right for me. That's cool. Like the old magazine for me totally wasn't right. Shut it down. And that's how I am going into my year ahead. And that's how I've gone into my year ahead for the last 20 years, frankly. And the results have been just, I don't know, remarkable, totally remarkable. Does that make sense? Does that
Pennies and nickels
convince you?
and quarters too.
Oh, since you are a punster of the first order, Mr. Dumb. I think you ought to change your description of your, you know, your bio, punster of the first order. I like that.
Now
I
I got a
can't
new
even keep up.
moniker.
You
This
probably
is
have a
good.
lot.
Oh yeah, that's right indeed. Some call me the Ayatollah of
Oh
puns and cola.
my gosh.
That's right indeed. Since I'm in Baltimore, Lamar Punson.
Yeah. So you're funny.
Yeah, can't forget about the pun this year too.
Don't punish me, Dom. Stop it. Yeah.
That's right
Oh, funny.
indeed. She's an architect, y'all. That's right indeed. Energy blueprint indeed. I feel like that's the first time I've ever even heard that term indeed, because my goodness, so it just
Yeah.
really started from the beginning. So my goodness, like with all these wonderful tools that you have, like my goodness, it's kind of even interesting, even where to begin. It's like, oh, okay, so you got this magical blueprint here, and then you're in this magical
Yeah.
flow state. My goodness. So, like, once you get past the manifestation phase where it finally happens, dude, just continuously build as you go along, or it's like, all right, I knocked that off the list.
Oh no. So it's funny because I've listened to some of your other guests, and I know that you talk with people across like this wide, spectrum. Like some people are just pure businessy stuff and, books about growth. And I know I'm taking people more into the spiritual realm, kind of like Mark Anna does. I don't just knock things off my list. For me, and this is my personal philosophy, I see my life as like a tapestry or like an old-fashioned quilt maybe your grandma had. And every square on that quilt, the quilts become more beautiful the older they are, right? The more they're actually used and aged, and the more that the squares and the colors and the fabrics don't match, like that's, and the love that's gone into it, like that for me is the best quilt, not something you just order off Amazon that's just perfect and stiff and matching. My life is the quilts, the grandma made. And every year I'm putting a new patch in, and every year is quite different. And 1 year my patch might be gray and icky, and the next year it might be bright, sunshiny, yellow butterfly print. But in the end, it's all going to create me, right? This becomes my being, my soul. So goals for me, I have, oh, believe me, I have plenty of physical goals. I don't want to act like I don't. I built a huge company. I've been in charge of millions of dollars of international company. I have goals, and I'm very happy. In fact, I love being productive and winning things and doing all of that. But the other side of that is, if I didn't recognize that there's some kind of inner growth happening in me, that's in tandem with that, it's like walking right alongside that, then all that stuff would just be stuff that I ended up chasing. And we've all done this, actually. We think we want something, and we say, as soon as I get that, everything will be great. We get the thing, and it's great for about, I don't know, a month, and then we're not satisfied again. And we're like, okay, I need the next thing. Okay, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? And we look at our past, and it's littered with all of these accomplishments, most of which we don't even remember anymore, because there's always a new one on the horizon saying, well, if you do this one, then you get to feel that way. Then you get it. Then you'll get it. And it's kind of a lie. Accomplishments are great, but they will come and go. The quilt, the part of you, though, that continuously develops is, who am I becoming? How do I want to feel in my life? So another idea, another concept I'll just throw out there is something I teach about called emotional endpoints. All the things that we want are things that we think will lead us to something that we want to feel. Period. You can think of anything in your brain right now, anything that you want physically right now. You can think too, Tom, but anybody listening, everybody thinks something that you want right now. And everyone's like, I want to pay off my house. I want health insurance. I want to lose 20 pounds. I want my kids to like be nicer or to be healthy and healed, right? We have it. We have something. But if you look past the surface layer, it's like, well, why do you want your house paid off? Why do you want money? Why do you want your kids to be healed? Why do you want to lose that weight? And then you come up with an answer like, well, for instance, I want to lose weight. I'm going to use that one because it's one I'm working on myself right now. Okay. I want to lose the weight because I want to feel relaxed and secure about my health. I want to release worry. I want to feel peace and confidence. I want to feel that I have the ability to grow so old, I get to see my great grandchildren. I want the feeling of knowing I could travel on an airplane across the country or to another continent, and I wouldn't have to worry about, will I have a health incident? I want to feel like I show up and talk to other people, and the body that I'm showing them is actually reflective of me. Like, this is the real, actual me. So every one of these is a feeling that I'm ultimately going for. So I live my life guided on what are the feelings I want to create. And then secondary to that is, what are the physical things that might lead to those feelings? And I always know physical things might change, but the feeling things almost never do. So there could be, 10 different ways for me to reach that feeling about my body and my health. It could be losing weight. It could just be being the same weight and getting really strong or cardiovascularly fit. I don't know. I haven't discovered it yet. But if you think about whatever it is you're focusing on right now that you want to make, it's because you want to actually reach that feeling. And if you can stay centered on that feeling, like that's again to go back to the quilt. I have a quilt of feelings in my life that I want to have in every single area about my kids and my family and my husband and my work and myself. And so all the things I'm choosing to do to reach those feelings, some of them I might be right about, some of them I totally might be wrong about, and I'm willing to let those go, which means that I don't even have to achieve all my goals because some of those goals might not actually be what's really in alignment for me. What do you think about that?
So it sounds like folks need to think more about quilts as opposed to to-do lists.
Yeah, exactly. So I hope anybody listening now just, maybe spend some time. If you take a shower in the morning or at night, I hope you do. Most of us do each day, okay? Or a bath, I don't care, whatever floats your fancy. This is a gorgeous and perfect time to not just think about what to do next, but what to be next. How you want to be in the situations around you. What the situations and things you're wanting, how will they make you feel? Like that, if you start answering that question, you will find yourself on an entirely different path in life that will yield more and more riches. And flow dreaming might be what you use to get you deeper into that. I mean, it has for me, but other people use gratitude practices or meditation or prayer or a combination of all of the above. But I mean, there's no better time to start than like right now. It's never too late.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. It's right indeed. Focusing on what you want to be. It's right indeed. It's always funny. Always have to like trail it or chain. It's always a episode four with Wendy Oliver, if I'm not mistaken, where she mentioned how we're human becomings as opposed to just human beings. That's right indeed. Or human
Oh,
beings, just
yes.
human becomings. That's right indeed. Focus on who you want to be. Don't just be the gray patch today. You could be the rainbow butterfly patch tomorrow. That's right, indeed.
Hey, the gray patches are useful, man. I'm not going to discount those gray patches. We all have them in our quilts. And you can't complain that you have them. We all have them. We all have them. It's part of our lives, right? There's gold to be gleaned in them too.
Heck yeah. Add a T at the end for bad spelling. It'll be a great patch. Since you've been on so many interviews on both sides of the microphone, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often?
I'm gonna have to think here for a second. Something I wish they'd ask me more often. Does this really work? That's a really simple question. Does this really work? But, I think a lot of us get very jaded and dismissive. Like we've been through a lot of crud in our lives. And we just say, oh, this doesn't work. Oh, this is just blah, blah, blah. Works for you, not for me. Works for other people, doesn't work at all. It's a bunch of, baloney, whatever. I live my life always asking myself if I'm wrong about something, which is kind of weird, I know, but. If I have a belief about something and that belief is satisfying my need to feel right about it or to have an answer, but the answer only keeps me in the spin zone, like it doesn't advance me in any way, I always have to go back in and ask, okay, my need to be right about this, my need to feel soothed and assured about why I can't be better, why this won't happen, why I'm not allowed to have this, or I'm not supported, or why I'm not good enough, or why I don't get my needs met, or why, right? If I'm going to keep holding that answer because it explains it to me and I can just keep moving on now without thinking about it, then I've stopped growing. I have stopped a certain part of this human adventure. So I go in and I'll say, what if I'm completely wrong about that? What if I am totally, totally wrong? So if you're asking yourself, does all the stuff this summer person is saying, is it like, should I really try and believe this again? I want you to ask, what if I'm wrong about thinking that it's not true? What if there's actually merit here and I'm hearing it for the 400,000th time? And maybe I've heard it 400,000 times because life is just trying to get it finally through to me and won't let up until I finally open my ears in a different way. How can it hurt me if I start pouring positive feelings and positive emotion into my life? If I start, a practice that acknowledges there's a part of me that's bigger and deeper and wider and just really wants to blossom, and I want to give attention to it, and I want to start loading it up with feelings that I'm going to self-create. I'm not going to wait for life to give me permission to feel it. I'm going to start self-creating these feelings. And maybe it's just a big old experiment. What will happen if I do? And I just know from all the people that I've worked with, thousands of people over the last 20 years, things change. And sometimes they change in areas you don't even think will change first. You're like, things change, but not the thing I was trying to change. I'm like, that's okay. You know, when you take an old grandfather clock, you know, the ones that you used to see in old movies that stood up in the foyer, and they're big, and they're always stuck at like midnight or whatever. Right? You know, the Addams Family clock.
Especially that one.
Yeah. You take one of those clocks and you open up the back and you're like, okay, I don't know which one of these gears is stuck, but you think it's the biggest gear first. That's the one you've been working on. Turns out now there's like a little piece of sand or something and a little tiny gear way over there. So it's like things will start changing, and they may change in places you don't expect and don't seem related at all. But that's the point, because all this time you've been trying to affect things that you could see that you thought were the problem, or thought what was stuck, or thought you had to do. And especially you've been grinding on that and it's not changing. It's not that gear. You got to back up and go, whoa, clear this board. We're going to change whatever gear. And here's how we're going to do it. And that little tiny gear starts moving. And then pretty soon all the gears start moving again. So, yeah, that's the question. Does it really work? The answer is yes. But it is, this is not a the way I practice manifesting and or guiding my life is not gimmicky. It is a philosophy. It's a spirituality. It's a guidance for me, and it does work. You know, I gotta I also sorry, no, I'm just going on here, but I gotta say I work with people of every single faith. I mean, Baha'i, Muslim, Christian, Catholic, Hindu, no faith, agnostic, everybody. This view and this way of thinking about yourself and life is can be part of what you think about, you know, what you call source or God or the universal consciousness, or it can be separate from it, but it still works. So just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, well, speaking of work, you've been working for a long time, especially with your wonderful background from Hay House and Hay House Radio, and you having a podcast for, if I'm not mistaken, but podcast for 18 years, right?
Oh my gosh, yes. So when I started Hay House Radio, and for some of you guys are old enough to remember, it's getting funny because now there's a lot of younger people and they're like, I've never heard of it. And I'm feeling inside like, oh my God. I've passed into a new era. Oh my God. But back in the day, I mean, we were cutting edge. There were very few online radio stations. I mean, it was AM, FM, and they had just introduced like Sirius XM. You could get some, you know, satellite radio, but we were streaming live shows with call-ins across the entire world on the internet, and doing it from a personal growth company. I mean, it was really extraordinary. You know, some of the best years of my life were doing that. But things have changed, you know. I mean, now everybody can get everything everywhere, and sometimes I think there's too much information. You know, every time I open up my Instagram feed, there's like 50,000 people telling me how they want to coach me and do things, and I just sigh and I go, oh, this is exhausting. But at the same time, there's a lot to be said for mainstreaming things that didn't used to be mainstream at all.
Yeah, that's
Anyway,
right indeed. And then become a
so
hypocrite.
yeah. But yeah, I've been doing my podcast since 2005. So that's I'm actually hitting my 20th season. That's 20 years now. I've been, and you can find it, the podcast. I should be marketing myself a little bit more here. I've forgotten to do that completely. It's called Flow Dreaming, and it's flow like FLOW, flow like a flowing river. And you can look that up. I have an app on your phone also, Flow Dreaming for Meditation and Manifesting. I give away flow dreams. So the flow dreams that I give away, think of it like meditation versus guided meditations. You can meditate on your own, or you can get someone's guided meditation, and it just kind of makes it easier, right? And often it surrounds a certain idea or topic. So I give away a number of flow dreams. One is for finances and abundance. Another one's for alignment. And I also give away a free tutorial on how to learn this whole process. And you can find that on YouTube as well. Should throw that in there.
Yeah, so I'm talking about throw it in there like throwing it in a bag. So, what would you consider your
Yeah.
three major lessons learned from your 20 years of podcasting?
Oh my God, three major lessons about podcasting. Oof, ooh, ooh, ooh. First of all, podcasting. By the way, I actually have my own little boutique podcasting website. I forget to mention it sometimes. It's called inflowradio.com. Got some amazing other I've got some spiritual readers, mediums, teachers who are all there. I would say that the lessons that I've learned is there's a podcast for everybody, like literally for everyone. I mean, you can't be in a niche, I don't know, that's so small that nobody would listen. You could talk about, I love orange couches, and that's all we talk about is orange couches. You will have people come listen. And that's one of the great things about this. It's a great leveling. There's no gatekeepers anymore. Like even in publishing, you used to have gatekeepers, right? You had a publisher or nobody'd hear read your words. And then on-demand publishing came around. Everybody could suddenly read your books because you could just put it up yourself. Podcasting is the same way. Everybody can have their own radio show now. Everybody can communicate and be with an audience. So when you do that and people are listening to you, they start to feel like your best friend. Like Dom, a lot of your listeners, they think you're their best friend because you're in their ears. Like you're literally earbuds going into their brain every single day or every single week, and they get to know you over time. And that's an extraordinary privilege. And it challenges us to also be vulnerable and open that they're not wasting their time getting to know us, that we're actually sharing who we truly are. So I guess that's number two. And then number three is that not to be afraid to change as you change. So 20 years ago, in fact, people can get my first 10 seasons of shows. I put it behind a subscription in Apple because it was just easier that way, because 20 years of shows is a lot, but it's like $3 and you can listen to like the first 10 years. And you'll hear, I call her Baby Summer. Baby Summer in 2005 and 2006, she was like 30 something. She was just like, oh my God, spirituality. And guess what I'm learning? And she's very cute. She's young, though. She's young.
Oh, she's still
Older
cute. She
Summer? Now. And then you're going to
Selling
hit the
yourself
summer
short is not
from,
allowed here.
oh, I have a good self-esteem. Then you got a summer from about 2015, and she's like, oh my God, you guys, I'm going through cancer, and this is like the worst year of my life. A very sober and thoughtful summer comes out for a few years. A very go big summer comes out. When you podcast like this, it's almost like having a diary that the entire world hears and will stay up for pretty much forever. And if you have to let yourself change and be different every year of that, your show can't just be the same show every year. You're going to change, and what you say is going to change, and what you're interested in is going to change. So it's more like getting a big collection of friends together who all want to like hang out year after year, no matter what weird stuff we're into this year. And that's my third thought about, podcasting this long. Don't be afraid to change it up. I've done it multiple times. There you go.
App deal, especially on point number three, because funny enough, years ago, I was like, oh, yeah, I thought no, we don't talk about romance. We don't have romance authors or politics on here. And then next thing I know, I co-write a book with someone who actually had a romance novel under a pen name. It's like, hey, well, since we invite folks to be their whole selves here, you want to mention your romance? I was like, oh, yeah, sure. And there we go. The gateway's open and a bunch of other creative folks came. So, yeah. It's all right. Gotta be open. Gotta evolve with the times. Evolve yourself. That's right, indeed.
Plus, I only want to be hanging out with people who are most like me. I know that sounds really weird to say, but we all feel that way, right? Our
Darn
friends, the
right, we
people we
do.
love the best, like they're people who kind of think like us. And if you're podcasting or talking in such a way that pleases the many, then you're going to have a lot of people who aren't like you at all, and they're not going to be people that you love and care about and adore and want to talk to every week. So, that for me is really important. I now podcast for the fewer people who are more like me, and therefore I am more, I don't know, emboldened and honest. And so I think that's important too. There you go.
Woo-hoo. That's right, indeed. It's all
Woo-hoo.
about that impact, baby. That's right. It's all about that impact, indeed. That's right, indeed. What's the funny enough, actually reminds me of one of John Maxwell's sayings. After a while, when you hear him speak, he's like, "Yeah, I want a million friends, not a million fans."
Yeah, and maybe just because I've gotten old, I'm actually in my 50s now, which I'm sorry to admit, but I'm also
Sweet,
happy because
50s and
I
fabulous. We love to
made
see
it.
it.
I
Ha
made it. But yeah, the older you get, the less I don't know if I can use explicit words here, but the less F's I'm likely to give. So yeah, it just makes for a lot more fun, and that's a lot more what I focus on now too.
Well, I'm glad that's real for you. That's right, indeed. Because some folks, as they age, they sometimes still have that small mentality where it's like, oh God, what would they say or think if I wore or did this thing?
I know, I know. And sometimes, there's always, we kind of often fight against the tendency as we age to sink more into negativity, because the fact is, as you age, you will have more and more, negative things happen to you. That's just life. It will be a pile up eventually. So the question is, how do we deal with that pile up? Do we just be crushed under it? Or do we recognize it and just say, yeah, everybody's got that. Who am I going to be in this? How will I have let this affect me? And that's, we all know a lot of people in our lives who are just negative, and we just wish they weren't, but we understand how they got that way. And I'm just hoping that's not going to be me. And again, that's why I do my practice, right? No matter what life is giving me. I'm not going to use the lemon and lemonades here. I know what you're thinking, Dom, but no matter what life is giving me, my question is, who am I going to be in this? And what practice will I bring to it? What awareness will I bring to it? And but flow dreaming for me is the way that I keep a short leash on that part of myself in a good way.
So no leash that's as short as the Great Wall of China,
Yeah, I guess so.
huh?
A celestial leash.
There you
Honey.
go. That's the real leash on life right there. That's right, Dave.
Life. You're unstoppable.
That's right, indeed. The power of the pun. You never knew puns had this much power.
I know. The
Well,
power of puns. Sorry,
it's
that's funny.
ponderful. Well, two more questions. I'll let you make a run for it. So, if your fabulous book, stuff nobody taught you, 40 lessons
Yeah.
from me, school, to help you stop being miserable and start feeling amazing. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Oh my God, if that book were a food, it would be either key lime pie or banana cream pie. I'm not sure which one, or maybe a combination of both. That would be icky, but one or the other. Because the whole intention of this is to reinvent yourself, to get into that sweet, revitalized, delicious feeling in your life, to release the brakes, to know where you're going, to feel satisfied. So yeah, I would say it's one of those pies, and I also happen to like those pies. So there you go.
No, I'm guessing they're both tied for first.
Yep. Chocolate
So it's
chip
been
cookie, maybe something like that. It's a sweet treat of some type.
there you go. It's a banana key lime pie, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right. It'll make
Yeah.
you feel bananas. The good kind of bananas.
I'm wondering what other people answer. Like, does anybody ever say it's a steak? Like, it's meaty and like, I don't know, red-blooded.
Oh yeah, we've actually we had all sorts of answers. Yeah, we've gotten steak for one. I forgot who that was, but
That's
we
funny.
did have, let's see, we had another guy say flapper pie, and I was like, what the heck is that? And apparently
I
it's
never
like
heard of
this
that.
made right?
Yeah, I was like,
Yeah.
pilaf? I don't know. Flapper pie? Is that like a roadkill pie? That not my book.
Apparently it's this real sweet creamy pie where it's like a lot of cream is involved. It's something that they love to serve in the prairies. He's yeah, because he was up in the Canada area, I think probably middle Canada.
Yeah.
So
I'm
yeah.
gonna look that up.
Yep. We had flapper
Funny.
pie, we have had paella, we've had blueberries.
Ooh, paella.
Yeah, that's right indeed. A couple pizza answers. Didn't get pizza as much as I thought we would, though. I was surprised. Only maybe 10 or less people said pizza in the past 200 times I've asked that question.
Well, I hope I'm the only banana cream pie you've got, because I like to be original. If not, I'm going to change my answer. Okay? All right.
Don't worry, you're original. Nobody's went press the copycat button yet.
Hey,
Oh yeah,
hey,
Reddit.
AI, it's coming. Yeah.
That's right. I do need Alan Iverson to come on the podcast once he writes his book. That's right, indeed. That's right. It'll be a full game. It won't be practice. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Well, speaking of practice, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is if you're to wake up tomorrow and you were 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Oh my gosh, if I'm 25 tomorrow, but it's still this year.
Yep,
Well,
your husband will be a cradle robber.
that's a whole interview. Yeah, he'd be like, "Oh, you're as old as my daughter. This is weird." I would immediately, besides that very unprofessional comment there, but I've been with my husband literally since I was 16, okay? So I can say that, right? He's known me my entire life. I have one of those very unusual, 35-year relationships that not many people have in this era. So if I was 25 tomorrow, I think the first thing I'd do is I would say to my husband, throw on your backpack. We're going to go around the world for like 2 years, and we're not going to worry about anything. We'll get it all figured out later because we got another 25, 35 ahead of us. After I did that, just because, I'd feel like I had that spirit of reinvigoration and adventure, what would I say to myself at that point? Oh, I'd say, look, you're going to reinvent yourself so many times in the years ahead. And every time you think that you found the final perfect enchilada, that this is it, you're going to get it for a while and then it'll go away. And when that happens, just don't sweat it. Another one's coming around, right? It's like bus stops. The buses will just keep coming to all the bus stops. You think the bus pulled away and it's done. Another bus is coming. Another bus is coming. And you'll reinvent yourself over and over again. And each time there's a reason for it. There is new growth to be found. They won't be the same reinventions. Sometimes it'll be your health having to come back. Sometimes it'll be a relationship that gets broken and you need to figure out a new one or how to fix it. Sometimes it'll be you lose somebody you love so much in your life, and you will not know who you are afterward for a while, and then you will reinvent. And the only thing that you have to watch out for is how long you stay in the stalled out points between that reinvention, because that's just the years that tick by. But if you can know what you're doing and just let yourself just go through it, you're doing fine. You're doing perfect. You're doing great. And that's what I would say.
Woohoo,
Little bit
she's
of,
doing great.
yeah. And also throw on that backpack. I'm going around the world again.
Oh, been around the world now,
I actually did that when I was 19, but not for 2 years. Back then, it was a lot harder, I think, than it is today. We didn't have cell phones or anything back then, so you were really on your own. You were really cut loose.
There you go. That's right indeed. The alibis will stick longer. That's right. Yep. Couldn't resist. It was right there. The opportunity was
Sorry.
there. It's always there.
I know. Oh my gosh. Just so everybody knows, we're taping this on a Saturday night, and I think after this, it's like the sun has gone down, and it's now like a beautiful sunset and dark out there, and I'm gonna go out there and torment my husband with 1,000 puns. He's gonna be like, "What is wrong with you? What are you just doing?" And I'll be like, "I was talking to Dom for an hour, and it's just like, yeah, sorry, honey."
Don't worry,
Anyway.
he's your honey bun, so put a pun on
Yeah. I
him.
will. My bunny hun.
Oh, so you're hopping to it.
Didn't say that.
It. There you go. It's okay. It's okay. All the bunnies are welcome. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. So my goodness, the good news is folks probably only got, I don't know, 0.001% of all the summer has to offer. So for those who need to jump into the other 99.9% of all the summer has to offer, so they can also bring some speedos to the all-year bikini party known as Flow Dreaming. What's the best way for folks to do so?
Flowdreaming.com. That's my website. Like I said, I've been around for 20 years, so I'm kind of all over out there on the internets. But if you go to my website, I give you all the free stuff that you can start and like listen to, and then download the app on your phone. Just look up Flow Dreaming for meditation and manifesting. Check out the podcast, 700 episodes you can just sift through at your leisure. And check me out on YouTube, because I also have a tutorial there that will lead you through flow dreaming. And then, if you're really, your mind is really excited by this, and you're like, I want to do some of those things that she was talking about earlier, reach out. I have a lot of stuff. I have a monthly mastermind. It's low cost. It's like 36 courses that I've put out over the last 3 years that talk about how to shift and change multiple areas of your life. I've been very, very prolific. I have over 300 recorded flow dream meditations, or flow dreams, energy activations, playlists. I mean, there's so many ways for you to start. Just start. Just start. But yeah, start with my website or my podcast or my app.
Woo-hoo. So heard that right, folks. You're gonna need like 1,000 dream catchers for all the dreams you're gonna be having thanks to summer indeed. That's right indeed. So heard that right, folks. Check out a wonderful site, check out a wonderful wares and Dave. We're gonna put a link to all of our wonderful things in the show notes. So be sure to subscribe to our podcast show. That's right indeed. Because hey, if you're kind of woo-woo, it's cool. If you're full woo-woo, it's even better and not butter, y'all. That's right indeed. And the good news is her magical book stuff, nobody taught you. That's also on audio, and she's reading it too. So if you enjoyed getting summer in your ears, you get to get her in your ears even more, indeed. So you'll really have the full season in your brain. That's right, indeed. That's right. Indeed. Well, before wonderful bunny riding camel appears to join the magical beach bikini party, any words before we close up shop, Summer?
Now, I mean, you mentioned my book. One thing I forgot to say is that anybody who purchases it, there is a link inside where you can get 200 worksheets that I provide so you can work through this book. It is a workbook. There's 40 chapters with 40 different exercises that will help you discover who you want to be next and how to become that person next. It's very individualized. So that's a really good thing. Other than that, Dom, thanks. It's just been like fabulous. It's a really fun. It's been a really fun Saturday night date. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me and talking with me. I've loved it. Thank you.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for three. And be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.